Hey, hi. Well, thanks so much for giving me this opportunity. I took over as board chair at the end of May this past year. And coming from that perspective, I started having little conversations here and there that kind of led me to the impression that maybe the Zoom community didn't feel as closely connected to the rest of the fellowship as we'd like. If I'm completely off base, fantastic. But if not, I'd like to find a way to build a bridge so that if you guys feel like you're out operating on an island by yourself, you're not. The Zoom community is a huge, robust part of our fellowship. And I'm open to any feedback for how we can better serve you, how we can make you feel more part of the fellowship as a whole. And so I don't need answers right now, but I put my my email address up there. If you've got ideas about that or you just have some feedback you'd like to share with me, I'm really, really open to anything. And so while you're thinking about that, I thought I'd tell you a little bit about how the board works in relationship to the fellowship. I hate to do this, but I'm going to start this with the sentence I just don't like. In a perfect world, the board would be made up of all of the chairs of our committees. This current service year, the board is not made up of all chairs. We have a few, but typically we like to get chairs in board positions because it shortens the communication length. We have real-time feedback for what's going on in the fellowship when each board member is also a committee chair. And the committees that I'm speaking of are our Budget and Finance Committee, our Convention Committee, our Literature Committee, our Technology Committee, our Outreach Committee. And we have opportunities for a Resource Development Committee, but we just haven't had enough volunteers to staff that, so it's been inactive for a bit. We also have one more committee that's internal. It's a committee made up just of board members, and it's the Nominating Committee. And those board members travel to different meetings in their regular course of business and at the convention, and we observe. We get to know the fellowship members, and we talk to them. We drop in on their workshops and panel discussions, and we find those whose recovery we admire, and we talk to them about potentially being board members sometime in the future. So that's, again, it's made up of just board members. And in this current service year, we don't have the convention committee chair as a board member. The convention committee this year is chaired by two folks who are not really seasoned veterans at the convention planning, but they do so through jobs. They have job experience, and they had a real desire to do this. So the hitch when we don't have a board chair is that we don't have the benefit of having that person attend the board meetings on a regular basis. We have a liaison, another board member attends those convention committee meetings, comes back to the board and relays whatever current information is pertinent. However, if the board has deep or meaty questions that the liaison can't answer quickly, then we have to reach back and try to get a hold of the convention committee chair, and it just drags out our ability to communicate rapidly. So we're always looking for folks that are willing to be chairs, but we're also open to the idea that, you know, we don't always get exactly what we want. And if we have to sacrifice that one thing in order to get a really valuable person on the board, we're open to doing it. It would just be ideal if we could have a board made up of all chairs. So there are seven of us on the board, and that's the minimum number required by our bylaws. And the bylaws are the written legal set of rules that we have to follow. You might think of COSA as having, a side A and a side B. Side A is our Fellowship for Spiritual Development. Side B is really the small business that COSA is. People give us their donation money. We use that donation money to buy insurance, business insurance, to pay for all the tools that run our website, to pay the rent for the central office. We are the stewards of that donation money. And we do have a small business to run on the back side B of our big, beautiful fellowship. So with seven being the minimum, that's actually kind of a cozy number. Could we have more? We could, but I'll be honest, we don't have the money to support a much bigger board. And although the board members are not paid, the delegates made a decision several years back to try to cover as much of the board members' travel as possible, as the budget would allow. So when board members travel, we're traveling to and from the convention. And then one other, it's called the Board Working Weekend. It's a three-day work marathon. And the fellowship has agreed to pay for board members to travel to and from that other physical meeting. If there's not enough money in the budget, we can only reimburse a board member so much based on what's in the budget. So currently, seven is a tidy number for us. If we went bigger, we could certainly use the more hands, lighter work. But at this point, it would be really tough to financially manage a larger board. So back to that perfect world where everybody on the board is a chair of some fabulous committee. They would, each chair would come to the meeting and report about what great things their committee has accomplished since we met last. And that way, the board has their finger on the pulse of what's happening in the fellowship at all times. And it really works well. We know, for instance, when someone needs more volunteers on their committee, what kind of volunteers they're looking for. And we're able to respond quickly. Another thing that nominating committee does, when we're out scouting for, people with great recovery, if they're not ready to be a board member, or maybe it would never appeal to them, that's fine. There's so much else available if people want to be of service. We have jobs that you can do from anywhere in the world. We have jobs you can do in your pajamas. So there's always something, small jobs, big jobs. So that nominating committee kind of keeps a tally of the folks that wish to be of service, and when something comes available, we call them up. And other times we have people who call us and say, hey, we'd like to do something. And we put their name in the hat and we help them find a good fit for service work that calls to them. So there's this beautiful camaraderie and connectedness that happens when the board is small. We're quick, we can move quickly on things, and communication is our greatest ally. And from the fellowship, we also get a lot of communication throughout the year from folks who have questions about, hey, my meeting is having a problem with this Is there any experience, strength, and hope that the board knows about that we could use? So we're always listening, because so many meetings have different challenges, similar challenges. And so we kind of have our finger on the pulse of, hey, you know that meeting in Tucson? They went through this a couple of years ago, and they have a ton of experience, strength, and hope to share. So we connect folks that way too. The other way we communicate with the fellowship is at our annual delegate meeting, and it's really, really important. If you can send a delegate, that is your way to help shape the direction that the fellowship goes. Every delegate that is there brings with them the group conscience vote from their group, and they share that. There's usually about 35 delegates that show up each year. We'd love to see more. The more we get, the more rich COSA voice we get. So if you can send a delegate, it's enormously important. So that's another way we bridge the gap between the board and the fellowship. I think for many years, folks have felt like, oh, the board was this thing that was just out there, and it was distant and removed, and you know, the people on the board must be some kind of elite squad of COSAs. We're not elite. We are you. We are people who wish to give back. We are people who have been called or cornered at the convention by somebody from the nominating committee, and those people have said, you know, we appreciate the level of your recovery. We think you might be a good fit for board service or service on this committee or that committee. Are you interested? And so we go from there, and many conversations are had with those folks, not just for board service. But that's another reason it's really important to get a delegate to the convention, because the delegate then has that finger on the pulse of what's happening, and they can bring it back to your group. So it's really powerful, that two-way communication. Board members are not elite. We're just regular people. And there is such a wealth of, I look at it as like a relay race. The people that came to the board right before me handed down a bunch of wealth of information for me. And when I leave someday, I'll hand the baton on to somebody else. We're always training our replacement. We're always training for that rotation of service, so that we keep the best and the brightest and the most willing to serve. That way it doesn't get stale and stuffy and burned out. So we always have an eye to that. We do have, if anybody, I'm just going to throw these things out there. I am not, this is not to recruit for board service. I'd never stop talking if that were the topic tonight. But we do have a couple of things we could use some help with. And by serving at a more national or international level, it really helps a couple of things. Number one, your personal recovery skyrockets. Number two, you have a feeling of real connectedness to the fellowship as a whole, and a little bit of ownership. This is our fellowship. This is us, and I'm in it, and I'm giving back. So volunteering on the committee or board level is a cascade of positive benefits for the person and also for the fellowship. We get the benefit of your gifts. So a couple of things that we currently need on our convention committee. They're looking for someone to help in the media subcommittee, probably for layout and design of the printed program that goes, you know, when you arrive at the convention, you get a big old program. They're usually really really beautifully done. COSAs do that. And I think they do it in a program called Publisher. So if anybody has any publisher experience and would like to help, please send me an email and I'll connect you with the people that could best use your help. Another thing we really need right now is somebody to help me with fundraising. Right now I'm doing it kind of by myself. I don't think I'm very good at it, to be honest. But COSA runs on a couple of different fuels. One of those fuels is our volunteer army. And the other fuel is transactional and it's money. And right now, if you go on the COSA website, you can see that we're halfway through the service year, but we're only about a third of the way to our fundraising goal. And we don't have a big giant budget, but we're not where we should be at this time of the year. And so obviously we need to raise funds, and I could really use some help. Even if you don't want to be hands on and actually do the thing, if you've got some experience, strength, and hope, you can share with me. I'm so grateful to have anything, even just feedback. There's a fellowship email coming out on Tuesday. If you wouldn't mind taking a look at it and sending me, you know, a little bit of feedback, I'd appreciate it. Because I don't know that I'm hitting the mark. And sometimes just having one person doing the job, it's helpful to have a couple sets of eyes. And I'd really like that. And if there's somebody out there in the Zoom community that would be interested, I'd certainly be very grateful. So now I've asked two things from you. Is there anything you would like to see the board do for the Zoom community? Are we connecting with you enough? Are we connecting with you in a meaningful way? Do you have a wish list of what you'd like to see from the board or the fellowship? And I'm open to any of that. And let's open this for questions now too, if you'd like to ask questions.
It's not a question. I just want to say I think this is an amazing, I don't know, the Zoom room, everything, it's really amazing. Like, I really can't praise what's set up enough. I'm pretty new. So I'm sorry, I don't want to take too much time, but I'm very grateful for what is set up and how it works. And just having gone to some COSA meetings in person that have been a little bit more difficult for me, I don't know, the people I'm meeting on Zoom room are like amazing and really have helped me tremendously. And I see a lot of them, some of them here, and that's all.
Thank you. Along the lines of what she's saying, I get a kick out of going to the convention every year, and you can tell right away who the Zoom folks are, because when they see each other live and in person, there are fireworks in the room. They run to each other, arms open. It's like a family reunion. It's just really, really something to see. I really appreciate it.
I have a question, Sandy. This is a recovering question. If we do not take outside contributions, I'd love to know a little bit more how you fundraise. This is just, again, a recovery question.
Yeah. We send out 5 fellowship emails every year to just our fellowship. And we kind of lay out, hey, it costs us roughly $3,500 a year to fund everything we need for the website. Rent is this much. Rent, you know, this and this. So we kind of lay it out like, here are the needs. Here's what would help. You know, even we, I don't want to use the word pitch, but we also say, you know, you can also help us by buying literature, buying the MP3s of the workshops that get recorded at the convention, the speakers that get recorded at the convention. You can have speakers and workshops when you're sitting in your car on your lunch break. So, you know, we try to show as many ways that you can contribute outside of just, hey, you know, send us $20. That's not very imaginative. It does make it tough not being able to solicit outside outside contributions, but the wisdom behind that is we're not beholden to anybody. There's no one who can financially influence us, hijack our message, hijack our mission, dilute what we have to say. So by keeping it just our donations, we honor COSA in the highest form.
Thank you.
Any other questions?
I think for me was when we were working on putting together the intergroup on Zoom and having all our questions, I was so confused on what we could ask the board, what email, who do we ask to guide us to make sure that we are doing things in a healthy way, or what does a secretary's role look like? What does a chair of the intergroup? And I know I would often just send out these, whatever email address I got, and I would get a response. And now I've learned a little bit more about on the website what I can email to. And I think it was really, really, really helpful. If you have any feedback on how often people outreach, even sponsorship. I mean, it was only till I got to a conference and I heard that if you didn't have a sponsor, there's even an email address that you can reach out to and get a response.
Thank you for bringing that up, Cindy. You know, we're trying to create communication where the board is much more approachable. You might send me an email tomorrow. I might say I'm going to research that and I'm going to put you in touch with somebody else. But we want people to feel like there are resources available and not feel so removed from the board. Everything you need to start and grow and maintain a healthy meeting is on that website. I will say this, some of the documentation that the Zoom community put together for their intergroup, when we looked at that, we were like, man, we have actually taken a page from the approach you guys took. So that's that symbiotic relationship. It's not us and them, it's us. All of us. So I appreciate, I also understand how hard it is to kind of find the needle in the haystack. Who do I talk to? But yeah, anything you need is available on the website. You can call, there's a phone number, there's an email address that gets routed to a lovely volunteer who answers all our email. Another one answers the phone. And it all filters back to the board, basically. So I appreciate that you guys blazed a trail. Look at this. I'm amazed at the Zoom community. So I really appreciate what you guys have done for the fellowship, because we're now copying off of your work, too.
So Cecile wrote in, she said, thank you, Sandy, and thank you, COSA Zoom members. I'm new and join this meeting from rural Australia each week and looking for an online sponsor. Regards, Cecile. And we can talk a little bit about that after the meeting, I think.
Awesome. Well, if you don't have any questions for me now, please feel free to email me when you do. If you're like me, I always go home and I think, gosh, I wish I would have asked that. So please use my email address if you've got questions or comments, feedback. We're really, as a board, we're really open to hearing what you have to say. And I'm really grateful to have this opportunity tonight to be with you. Thanks.
Sandy, I have a question. If sure. we're looking for something specific on the website and we don't quickly see it, is there a search, a way to search in order to find something?
I don't know. I'll check into that. And I'll have an answer for you tomorrow, Martha Jean.
Yes, I appreciate that because I've been searching for the 12 concepts. I have just heard about them recently and I have no idea where to find them.
It's under the tab about our program. And then you scroll down, there's a little drop-down menu that will come down and it'll have the 12 steps, the 12 traditions, and the 12 concepts.
Thank you. But if I could have put in the search as Martha Jean suggested, that would have helped.
Right. I'll check into that. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to talk again because I have this experience of going back and forth and being so grateful for the recovery that I received from living in a city without, and I know I share that story with many people on Zoom without having any help in their city, and being fortunate enough to go to conferences, and which I highly recommend, was the biggest gift for me to see what was available for my recovery. And I think that I was under the impression that, you know, I was so terrified of being able to give back. And I appreciate, Sandy, that you said that. I remember the first task I was reached out to help with. I felt so nervous, you know, the board being this board. And it was such a fun, easy task. And it didn't mean like in my previous life that, you know, with my people pleasing that I would take on a role and I had to all this work to do. And what I learned is that the board and the different committees actually support my recovery and just taking a little piece of what I enjoy. And it didn't mean that I was hooked in for life, that there was so many different levels of what I could do and within my time frame. And I think that really, for me, was a really great start. So I just wanted to share that if you had any feedback.
Are you looking for feedback from me?
I know you have more experience with other people giving back, doing service outside of Zoom. So I know that's my experience on, you know, I haven't worked for many committees or understand all of them yet, but the work that I have done has been, it's been fun. It's been really good.
Yeah. I think it's such a blessing that we have so many different kinds of roles for different kinds of people. Some people don't want to work in a big old team, like convention committee is huge. Some people are really introverted and they prefer to work, you know, quietly on their own. They don't want, you know, a lot of distraction. You know, we've got a COSA who pulls, she goes through all of the old balance issues and she selects what will be our weekly meditation. She hands that off and she's an introverted person. She hands that off to someone else who plops it in the little template that gets emailed out to us. And those two people, they prefer not to work in a big committee environment, but they love these jobs that they do. So, and they get a lot of satisfaction from that. And there's a lot of joy in service, and a lot of personal recovery growth. So yeah, there's something for the extrovert, the introvert, the too busy mom, there's something for everybody.